Good day, companions. I'm Bob Chase, and welcome to another series of interviews highlighting information related to the York Rite of Maryland. With me is Randall L. Watson. Now, we're going to call him Randy, but most illustrious Grand Master of the Royal and Select Masters for 2019 and 2020. So, Randy, are you busy? Are you trying to stay busy, even though we can't do a whole lot of Masonic work?
Well, actually, Bob, even though we're not having as many in-person things as we did, the number of organizations that have gone to virtual meetings really kept the calendar busy after about the first month. And so now we're still doing virtual things, and the in-person things have started back up. So it has maintained a pretty high level of activity.
And that certainly is a good thing for those who just really need to be a part of the fraternity in a more personal way. Now, one of the things that we as Masons, and I think I've asked just about everybody in York Rite this question and this way, is once we complete our third degree, that we need to go to the York Rite. Because we'll get more light, as we call it, or more information, excuse me. So where does the council fall in what and what are the degrees?
All right, the way the council fits into the York Rite and into Masonry as a whole is the Blue Lodge sets the foundation. You know, the three degrees basically are regarding the building of King Solomon's Temple. In the Royal Arch Chapter, the first three degrees, Mark Master, Past Master, Most Excellent Master, lead up to the completion of the temple, and then everything fast forwards in the Royal Arts, and it actually has to do with the recovery of the word that is lost in the third degree within the Blue Lodge. So the Royal Arch Chapter is about recovery. The Council of Royal and Select Masters is known as Cryptic Masons because it takes place underground, below King Solomon's Temple, and it has to do with preservation. The two degrees, Royal Master and Select Master, have to do with the manner in which our three original Grand Masters, Solomon, King of Israel, Hiram, King of Tyre, and Hiram of Biff, went about setting things up so that what was lost in the Blue Lodge in the third degree could in fact be recovered in the Royal Arch degree by the chapter.
So one of the degrees is the Super Excellent Master degree. Is that scheduled anytime soon?
No, it's not. The Super Excellent Master is actually kind of a bonus degree because in the council, to be a full-fledged member, you have to receive the Select Master so that you're a Royal and Select Master. But the Super Excellent Master degree is available for all members. But it requires a huge cast to be conferred properly so that the last time we did it was 3 years ago. And we had, I believe it was 41 or 42 members of the cast, and all but 11 did multiple parts. Because it is in multiple sections, so it takes over 60 people to confer the degree if nobody doubles up on parts. Because of the intensiveness of putting that on, it's usually only done every few years. We had it scheduled for this past spring. However, due to the shutdown for COVID-19, we had to cancel it. So I'm not sure if Randy Disney, who will most likely become the most illustrious Grand Master in October, is going to schedule it during his first year or not.
Okay, so one of the things that we all notice, and I would think possibly, well, first let me ask it this way. I'm listening to this, sounds interesting to me, so I want to get involved in Cryptic Masonry and I want to join the council. What can I expect?
All right, the council, very similarly to the chapter, has a very Masonic feel. Both organizations operate just as the Blue Lodge does. Everything is done at the local level with your local officers, And then there's the statewide body that oversees basically that constitutional rules are being followed. It's not an organization where everything is done at a state or regional level. So when you come in, the degrees of Royal Master and Select Master look and feel very similar to the first three degrees in Masonry. So the room, the style of officers, the format of the degree will feel natural and comfortable to any Mason coming in. You're not put in an audience situation as you are in the Scottish Rite. You are a participant. You go through the degree as a candidate rather as an observer. So it has the same feel as the first three degrees do.
And I may be showing my ignorance about it, but when you say it's Royal and Select Masters, does the master's part have to do with having to have been either a high priest or a master of your lodge?
Indirectly, because you have to be a Royal Archmason to go into the council. And to become a Royal Archmason, you have to be at least a virtual past master, which is a second degree done in chapter. But you don't have to actually serve as the presiding officer of either body.
On the website, as I was looking around, you talk about one of the finest pieces of Masonic ritual. Which council degree do you enjoy the most and why?
That would be in the Royal Master degree, because a big piece of that is where the candidate is actually walking beside and having a conversation with Hiram of Biff. You briefly see him represented in the Master Mason degree, but this is the time where the candidate really has a conversation on the subject of death with Hiram of Biff, who doesn't realize that he's about to be killed.
Okay. Well, here, follow me. Well, anyway, that is interesting. And for those who hopefully are listening and may not know who Hiram of Biff is, you might want to explain that as best we can.
Yeah, under the Masonic tradition, King Solomon's Temple was constructed under the primary oversight of Solomon, King of Israel. Obviously, it was his country. He was the national leader. It was his project. And he was assisted by Hiram, King of Tyre. And the main architect who designed and oversaw the actual design and construction of the building was supposedly Hiram of Biff. So these three are known as the first three most excellent Grand Masters of Masonry. And the King Solomon's Temple and the Hiramic legend are based upon these three gentlemen being the foundation and structure of the organization of Masonry around the time of the building of King Solomon's Temple.
And many of these names can obviously be found in your Bible, so you can find information there too. Let's talk about what is some of the philanthropy that council's involved in.
The main philanthropy of the councils of Royal and Select Masters is Cryptic Masons Medical Research Foundation, CMMRF. And it is a foundation that funds research and development primarily in vascular medicine. Diseases of the arteries and veins, and has a research fellowship and a professor's chair established and funded, as well as pure research into the diseases and situations of the veins or the vessels.
Right. Okay. And as we get ready to close it down here, we've made more and more light, as we call it, available to our members. And I question, well, I don't question necessarily, but I do wonder, have we overloaded our calendars to the point where we just can't get it all in?
Well, some may, but that comes down to a personal choice. It gets down to the discussion or debate point. I don't want to really call it argument on whether a new Mason should stay locally within the lodge or whether he should go out and explore other bodies. The main thing is Masonry has enough organizations and bodies that they can hit the interest and pique the involvement of any individual. And so if the Blue Lodge isn't where someone is really excited and wanting to spend their time, they can go on and look elsewhere. Now, certainly, as they say, nature abhors a vacuum. There are certainly too many choices out there for someone brand new to come in, join everything, and devote himself fully to being a ritualist and a committee member and a worker and a leader and a sideliner in all of them. There just isn't enough time. But as much time as an individual has that he believes could benefit from exposure and participation in Freemasonry, the organizations are there that can enable him to do so along the line of bodies and activities with which he has an interest.
So let us close this way. One of the things that we as Masons, and I like that term we discuss, not argue about, talk about is growing the membership. I consider you to be probably one of the finest ritualists, organizational people. So, what are your ideas on growing that membership? And everybody wants to talk about being younger, but I'm not so sure we need to be younger. We just need to have a group, I guess you might say an age group, where people have more time.
All right. Well, thank you for your compliments there on my personal background. But part of it is really looking at the growing the membership has several different aspects. And it's not simply recruiting new people, because you can recruit tons of new people. If you don't retain them, then that's for naught. So not only is it bringing new ones in the door, but it's getting that hook, finding out what they are interested in and making sure that that's being provided. So part of it actually during the initial approach and initiation standpoint of the members is determining what their interest is and making sure that they are joining the appropriate lodge. So it's not simply we want you, we need you as a new member. It's really, as a potential Mason, what is it that you believe you want to get out of Masonry? And it's making sure that we have the proper fit there so that we have a good hook, so that when someone comes in, they actually become involved. Now, the other standpoint is on the back end of losing people, particularly to the non-payment of dues. It's looking at what holds their interest, and if we've lost someone to non-payment, is doing some reach out to them and seeing is there something appropriate that we can do to get them back. So maintaining the membership and recovering lost members can impact our bottom line almost as much as bringing in the new. You have to look at both aspects, but ultimately our goal should be to maintain positive growth, even if it's only one member. Because if we continue to decline, eventually we'll reach the point where we're insignificant and don't matter. So we should at least be looking to stabilize our membership. And it's not solely by bringing new people in the front door. It's once we get them in, making them active and involved so that they will stay. And if we've lost someone, try to find out what that reason is, at least to try to keep from losing other people for the same reasons, but also possibly bringing them back and getting them active and involved.
Companions and brethren, you just heard why we need to keep this man pretty darn involved in this organization, because I'm telling you, he's got so much to offer. And Randy, once again, I want to thank you so much for your time. I think we have another meeting to go to.
Absolutely. Take care.
Have a good night.